ナモバガワテワスデバエア。オンナモバガワテワスデバヤ。オンナモバガワテワスデバエア。オンナモバガワテワスデバエア。オンナモバガワテワスデバエア。Welcome everyone. It is my great pleasure to welcome you for this seventh session, no, sixth session of the Bhakti Essential Course. For all of you who wish to know, this course is designed to spark your spiritual journey and to also give you a good fundament of philosophy, insights and practical experience within the, let me say, the vast kingdom of bhakti. In our last session, we started to explore the main practices of bhakti. We dealt with mantras, with kirtans, as a means to connect with the Supreme and the Divine Liberation and Reality. And we also were going deep into an kirtan experience. I do hope that you had a possibility last week to chant mantras and sing kirtans. If not, you can review the session and then practice it. It's very, very important for me to say that many of the deep concepts of bhakti cannot really only be explained with words. It is through practice that you unleash the power of divine intuition and then experience through your intuition and then also through direct seeing and hearing the deeper mysteries of bhakti. So practice is important. Now, today, I would like to continue with this practice part of bhakti by introducing to all of you the spiritual relationships. Yes, the way you conduct your relationships, either spiritually or differently, will help you to really make an experience of bhakti. It is from spiritual people that we get inspiration, that we can be uplifted, that we can obtain the much necessary support and inner strength to continue on our journey. Association is really, really powerful and very effective in doing this. I think we all know that association can bring out the best in us. And if we have association which is not appropriate for us on this level where we are at present, then association can also draw our energy, drain us, and be not favorable for our spiritual growth. So this is an important point. How do we associate with each other to bring in a maximum amount of inspiration and a maximum amount of Shakti or energy that lifts us up in Bhakti? And this will be precisely our subject matter, how to do this. The best way to really understand what happens in association is to give the example of the sitar. I think you all know the Indian string instrument. It's usually held like this. And it can bring out a lot of sound. Now, in this instrument, you find melody strings, which are, activated by the certain positions of the hand, and which are struck so that they sound. Now, underneath these melody strings, you find so-called resonance strings. When you play on the melody strings in a pitch and in a tone to which these underlying resonating strings are tuned, they will make a very beautiful sound, something like this, and give the sound a lot of fullness. But these resonance strings are activated not by being struck, but by sound, which comes from the melody strings. So all of us, in some ways, have these inner strings. It's internal knowing. It's our eternal being, and it is also this unlimited bliss. And when we meet a spiritually evolved or just someone who practices their spiritual life and is committed to this, when we meet this, their sound, so to say, which is already released and freed and acting, begins to activate what is there in our heart, and then our hearts begin to sing. I have personal experience of this. I had heard about my spiritual teacher, and I had read a little bit in one of his books, and I thought, let me meet this person and see what type of impression he leaves with me. I still remember I met him in the London airport. He had come from overseas and was coming out of the, after the immigration procedures, he was coming out, and the first time I saw him, first of all, I saw him surrounded by a lot of light, but that was not all. The very first time I saw him, I could feel that inside my heart something was becoming activated. It was almost like in this earlier example of the sitar, that the resonance strings were being moved and started to resound. Don't we all know this? When you meet people, something starts to move in your heart. There's a lot of knowledge about this in the Bhakti tradition. But it's enough here to understand the association you have will bring out certain resonance strings. And what we want in Bhakti is, of course, the right type of strengths, the right type of response, the right type of qualities. And that comes just by being in the company of spiritual people and not closing our heart. When we do this, our emptiness in the heart, if there is emptiness, begins to overflow. We do not even need to share many words. Just being in the association has that awakening shakti, where something inside of us is brought to life. That is the explanation which Bhaktivinoda Thakur, a great bhakti master, gives us, that is also the reason why spiritual association is so absolutely necessary. Now I would like to ask a question. What makes a spiritually oriented association different from just hanging out as friends or having a British tea party? What is the element that makes an association spiritual? Because once we figure that out and understand the principle, we can make all of our associations spiritually uplifting and empowering. We have to understand what we can bring into the association to make it favorable for our bhakti journey. Now, one thing we need to know is when you meet with any type of person, any, doesn't matter what he or she is, there is a type of space between you. I'm not speaking here of the physical space of maybe being 1 meter or more apart from each other when we meet and speak. No, I mean a relationship space. It will become very clear what we mean with this. It is this space, this is the easiest way to explain it, can be filled with certain things like understanding, inquisitiveness, being non-judgmental and accepting. And when you place that in between, so to say, you will see a certain reaction comes from the other person. You could also put other things into the relationship space. For instance, an attitude of mistrust. I really don't trust this person. And although you have not spoken any word, the person will very easily feel what you have put into the relationship space. I have seen people who were totally upset. For instance, when I spoke during a war in a war country, who was at war with another country, about the need to forgive. One person in the audience, he was dressed in the dress of a soldier, was so upset with me. He said, after the lecture, he came forward. He said, "You don't know what you are speaking about. If you have seen that your friend next to you was killed by a bullet from the enemy, just and died in front of your eyes, there is no question of forgiveness. You talk so much theory, you monks." He was really upset. I mean, it was not just something he said, his feelings were boiling. And when after the program, I went out of the hall, you know, by the back entrance to the stage, I saw the shadow coming towards me. He had waited for me and he was ready to hurt me. He said, "What would you do if I would now punch you so hard that blood will flow?" And at that moment, I could have jumped into one way of responding. I could have defended myself with words or tried to somehow protect myself with my hands. But I decided to use this knowledge of the relationship space. I briefly, this happens within seconds, try to understand the person. He was in pain. He was desperate. Most probably he did not even know why this war was necessary. By the way, I don't think any war is, or most, let's not talk about wars here. It is not a good way to come to peace, to make war. It never works. He was really disturbed because his friend died in his arm. So I put into the space understanding. And I put into the space something like empathy. I could feel with him. And just as this was going on, his whole face changed and he started to cry. And he said, "Please forgive me, I'm a little bit out of balance these days. It's so terrible what I see." Filling the space in between you is not something you always do with words. It's an attitude. It's an understanding. It's connecting with the person on a deeper level, and that has absolutely wonderful effects. Absolutely wonderful. So the crucial questions, what makes a relationship spiritual is, it depends what you put in the space which is there. I would like to talk about how to make an your relationship spiritual. There is a word for this. It's sadhu sangha, saintly association. Sangha comes from the Sanskrit motto samyak rupena gamayam. It means to move forward together in a proper manner. How beautiful. What a good definition. Association or having any relationship can be seen as moving forward together in a proper manner. Proper manner means that the best things come out in a person. So there are three types of associations which I would like to discuss today. One is to someone who is a teacher, from whom you can learn, maybe a saintly person or just a teacher. Another type of association we can have is with peers, those who are on a similar level like we are. And the third type of people which we meet are people in need of support. So we meet people who are superiors, from whom we can learn. We meet people who are peers, and we meet people who are in need of support. When we are at a point in life where we need answers and guidance to our deeper questions, when we may have to make a very important decision that doesn't only affect our life, but the life of those who are close to us, no? At that time, the right guidance is very important. The right association can give you inspirations that within seconds give you the answer, yes, this is the best way to move forward. This type of, let us say, person who can give guidance is someone who knows you, someone who also feels affection towards you, and someone who can help you. If you look for a friend who can really be, you know, helping you out or raise your energy levels and your understandings, find someone who knows you and accepts you, someone with whom you do not have to play the hide game where you hide things of yourself. No way, you can just be just the person you are and who is affectionate towards you, he likes you, and he is able to help you. Such association is at the root of bhakti. By such association, we start moving forward. Anyone who is on the bhakti path can tell you that they met such a person, and even though the meeting was brief for only a split second, it had a profound effect, because due to the resonating power that happened there, and also due to the other person filling the relationship space with that type of let us say stuff that can help you to move forward, that was crucial and maintains you also on the journey. These teachers are spiritually more elevated people. They do not just talk with words. They do not just give us their own thoughts. No, they come from a deeper place, the place of deep spiritual connectedness and therefore inspiration, that can give us astonishing support in our journey. Therefore, one wisdom scripture, it's the Bhagavad Purana, says, just as cold, fear, and darkness are eradicated for one who approaches fire, so dullness, fear, and ignorance are destroyed for one who is in association with people who are spiritually elevated. Yeah. When you come close to a fire and it's in the winter, then you will see that the cold goes away, any fear, you know, especially when you are in a lonely place, goes away. I heard wolves are respecting fire, and other wild animals respect fire, don't come close to someone who's near. And also the darkness gets chased away by fire. Those of us who like to walk in nature, and sometimes their walks are a little bit too long and they don't get home because darkness overwhelmed them, know how happy they are when they see some light in the distance, some fire, because now an orientation is there, and so on. So just like this is so perceptible, you get light, you get warmth, and you get freedom from fear. In the same way, it is perceptible. It's really not something which we just hear about, but you can experience it immediately when you come to spiritually elevated people. Your own dullness goes away. I'm sorry, that's a strong word, but sometimes we are a little bit covered, so to say. We are not in our strengths. Fear of problems which you feel overwhelmed by, and you feel, I don't know how to solve them. And even ignorance is destroyed in such a company. So when you are with these spiritually elevated people, there are four things which you can put into the relationship space which will help you to benefit in the best way. Be in a submissive state of mind. Don't show off with the knowledge which you have, but be in a submissive state of mind. Show some respect. Offer a service to them. Maybe you want to give them something that they need. Simple things. It could be a nice soap or tooth cream or fruits. Fruits are very good. And then try to please them. By the way, spiritually elevated people are most happy when they can be of help. Then they are very pleased with you. So, one basic rule is, when you have association with these spiritually elevated people, don't envy them. Don't try to push yourself above them. It is interesting that there are two types of association with spiritually elevated people. One is to be in their physical proximity, you know, just near them when they give a lecture or whatever or so on. The other, which is most properly more useful all the time, is to be in association by hearing from them. The one is called Vapu, the second is called Vani in the Bhakti tradition. By hearing from spiritually elevated people, by just listening to lectures, in reading books, going online and hearing from them, you can also feel how these spiritual resonance strings, these spiritual sights in you start to become activated. I would like you now to take a little moment in your life, just a few seconds, and try to remember how a spiritually elevated person, a teacher, a great yogi, a great saint, has influenced you in your life by either being in his physical proximity or just reading something about him or what he had written. Just let us for a moment think how we were positively influenced by such type of association. Yes, I got something new. I have the opportunity to meet many spiritual people. Just yesterday I met a high-ranking Lama, very realized soul, and I got so much from that brief meeting which was there. Very grateful, actually. let us move now on to the next type of association, and most probably that will be very interesting. I will also make an active learning exercise with you. It's about associating with peers. Most probably in our daily life, we associate with them most of the time. We share our realizations. We may open our minds in confidence. We may go on a travel together. We will meet together like that. The peer association is something like a safety net. I have one very saintly friend who told me that once in California he visited the redwood trees. You know, these trees which are sometimes higher than 100 meters and which are said to be more than 3,000, some say 5,000 years old. These trees amazingly don't have deep roots. Normally, the higher the tree grows, the deeper his roots have to be so that he doesn't topple and fall. The highest trees on this planet have no deep roots. What they have is, they have roots which extend sidewise. And they meet these roots and build a network under the earth which holds them. This network is so nourishing, by the way, that if it happens that a tree burns down, there are also fires, forest fires, it can burn down to the stump. But because the roots are still connected with all these friendly other roots, it gets so much strength and juice and nourishment that it starts to grow again. Yes. So in a spiritual life, we want to learn from the redwood trees. We want to have nourishing association with others that help us grow even when we are sometimes down to the stump. And I would like now to do something which I consider maybe the most important part of this presentation. I would like to make a little exercise through which you can spiritualize your relationship. It will be let us say, for some of you, it will be an exercise which brings you to the next level, hopefully. So, let me introduce it. In this exercise, powerful exercise, really, we will transform the quality of difficult relationships. We want to extend in spiritual life our compassion, our goodwill to all types of people. And it will do a lot in harmonizing the relationship. Sometimes it will help you also to make what we can call a very clean completion of the relationship. In other words, that it's over, but it's clean. There is no karmic debts or no entanglements and nothing in the air which is unresolved. We will do this by inviting a person in our mind with whom we would like to have a better relationship. It could be a colleague, a neighbor, a relative, and even a person who was once close to us, but who is now no longer so close. In other words, we will invite someone in our mind to sit before us, and we will then work with the relationship space by putting things in there which will cure the relationship, or if it is not so difficult, which will raise it to the next level. Before we begin, think of a concrete relationship with a very concrete and real person. A relationship which you would like to transform. Okay. Even if you have not yet found the person, most probably he or she will show up. Let's begin. Sit straight wherever you are. It's now a good time to stop everything else and center yourself by calming your thoughts and by being absolutely present. Relax, first of all, your body. Just tell yourself, relax. Take a few deep breaths in and out, in and out. And when you're ready, close your eyes. Now, in your mind's eye or meditation, invite the person of your choice. Invite him or her to sit before you. If you sit on the chair, invite them to a chair which is just opposite to you. If you're on the floor, invite him there or her. And then welcome them. After all, they are there with you now. Look at them and acknowledge the emotion you feel. Maybe disappointment. Maybe expectation that they do or say something. Anger, sadness. Acknowledge the emotion, but do not dwell on the emotion. Now become aware of the space in between you, the relationship space. You have a relationship, and this space can be filled with words, with thoughts, with attitudes. Whatever you will put into this space will determine the quality of your relationship. Start by filling the space between you with a feeling of appreciation that they have come. And now put into this space an understanding of their situation, empathy, empathize with their perspective. Finally, move on and try to put into this space an awareness of their spiritual essence. Just like you, they are an eternal being full of inner knowing and bliss. Just like you, they carry the Supreme in their heart. Just like you, they look for understanding and support. And just like you, they are only learning and growing in life. Notice now how your own feelings have started to change. And with this, notice how the quality of your relationship is shifting. And finally, ask yourself, what can I do from my side to better improve this relationship or to properly complete it? When you are ready, come back to room awareness, take your leave before, and then take the experience into your daily life. Good. I would suggest that if something came up, don't act immediately upon it. Wait for a couple of days. When that is still, the insight is still there and you think it is good, then act carefully and considerate on the inside, and you will actually see by this type of spiritual association, even with difficult people, with easy friends and spiritually superiors, that's not necessary, but with others it is highly helpful. Finally, I can't get into much detail, is when you see people who are in need of support, don't look down upon them. Why they don't know this, or why they don't have this. Be compassionate and see how through your words and actions you can raise them. The whole idea of spiritual relationships is to raise the spirit? That's a question. What makes the spirit arise? And the answer, the Mahabharata, is two things: wisdom and spiritual or spiritualized association. This is very, very powerful. If you carefully bring these things into the engaged life, the active life, you will really be surprised how things change, how your values begin to change, your perceptions begin to change, your actions begin to change in relationship to others, and you will start to access the tremendous benefits of spiritual associations. There are so many good examples of people who started their spiritual life just with having a spiritual association with others. The greatest saints became what they are by the initial impulse of spiritual association and by being maintained by spiritual association. I will post on my Facebook tips and exercises that can help you to practice over the next week, and of course also afterwards, the art of spiritualizing your relationship and creating, I would like to say, almost music in your relationship. You know, remember the example of the resonance string, because what you put into the space will resonate back into your life from the other persons. We grow together with other persons. If we don't have we don't have associations, let's start with that, we wouldn't learn a language. We would not know many things which are important. Now, in spiritual life, just we need spiritually minded people so that we learn the language of the spirit, that we learn to act in the proper and positive and conducive way in our lives. So good. You will find tips and exercises, what you can do to spiritualize your association based on the tradition. You will, I will request you to remember spiritual associations, and I will give you a guideline which you can do to interact with peers and people whom you meet just very newly, how you can meditate that the Supreme is in their heart, how you can start to listen in a way that you also hear what was not said, and how you can share bhakti with them. But for now, I want to just make a few announcements. First of all, we will post the recording of the guided meditation which we just did this evening tomorrow morning, Wednesday, on my Facebook page. In this way, you can also download it from there, and then you have it and can practice it and maybe invite people to your home and do this, guide them in this meditation. You will really get my notes which I read to you, but in sound, huh? In sound. Good. That's the first thing. The second is the tips and exercises that will keep you inspired to develop spiritual relationships for your daily practice are tomorrow morning on my Facebook page. I think I said this. And last, our next session, Bhakti Essentials Part 7. Wow, we are already approaching Part 7. It has all in all 8 sessions. Will take place on August the 18th at 8 p.m. Central European Time. Let me conclude with closing words. It's from a very old wisdom text, the Yoga Vashishta Ramayan. It says, therefore, in all circumstances, one should approach saintly persons, because such association imparts valuable lessons. If one approaches persons who have real knowledge, emptiness overflows with fullness. Even death becomes immortal nectar, and disasters dissolve like fog when the sun rises. With this, I wish you a wonderful evening or day, depending on the time zone where you are as you listen to this. Please don't forget some of the points you might have to go again through. This, you can find all the sessions which were given on the YouTube channel, my YouTube channel. And you can listen it, share it with friends. Of course, you know all that. You are knowing computers and how to deal with them. Good. I wish you really all the best. It's very inspiring to give these presentations, because, when one shares bhakti, one receives bhakti. All the best.